Good morning. I'm Andrew Bowen, in for Debbie Cruz. It's Friday, November 15th. SDSU's tribal liaison shares how the university is teaching Kumeyaay culture. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. Transportation officials are urging travelers near the Mexican border to be on the lookout for wildcatting. That's when unregulated drivers offer taxi services. Wildcatters have become more common at the San Ysidro and Otay Mesa ports of entry and San Ysidro's Ped West pedestrian crossing. Officials say the unregulated drivers can lead to price gouging, drivers who are untrained and not required to undergo criminal background checks, and vehicles that have not undergone safety inspections. One way to make sure a driver is authorized is by looking for an MTS medallion decal, typically located on the vehicle's rear windshield. For more information on how to spot wildcatters and how to report them, visit sdmts.com. Oceanside has a new top cop, and he's already making history. Chief Taurino Valdovinos was sworn in earlier this week, becoming the first Latino police chief in the city's history.
It's surprising that in a city that's so diverse that I'm the first Hispanic police chief, but I understand the significance of it and I take that seriously. I feel like I'm a representation of the Hispanic community as they are a representation of me.
Valdovinos is the city's third police chief in 4 years. He says he wants to bring some stability back to the department. Temperatures are going to drop quite a bit today and into the weekend. There's also a chance of rain through tomorrow night. Today, in the inland, coastal, and desert areas, temperatures will be in the low 60s, and in the mountains, it's expected to be in the low 40s. Similar temps are expected throughout the weekend. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hey, 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 this is Parker Edison, host of the Parker Edison Project on KPBS. The cool thing about joining KPBS is you make one simple donation, and that money ripples into supporting everything else you see and hear on KPBS, including podcasts like this one you're listening to right now, making a place for fresh voices and perspectives to be heard. And that's music to my ears. Become a member today. Just go to kpbs.org, click that blue Give Now button, and donate what you can. All right? Thanks.
Local indigenous leaders are working to increase representation and cultural awareness. That also means making higher education more inclusive. SDSU's tribal liaison, Jacob Alvarado Wypuk, is also an assistant professor of American Indian Studies. He sat down with KPBS Midday Edition host Jade Hindman.
So you're really committed to preserving Kumeyaay culture through classes about history, traditions, and language. Can you give me some examples of those classes?
Here at SDSU, we have a class called the Kumeyaay Shmoos Project, and it was designed in a way where our students can get an idea of who the Kumeyaay Nation is and what better way to create a relationship with the local tribes. And we did just that with our class. It's been going on for 3 years now. And our students were able to establish connections with the Broner Band of Mission Indians. And we did some events at Viejas Reservation also. But the one that we are actually sending our students to Monday and Wednesdays for field work, observations, and working with the local students is at the Broner Reservation, who has been so welcoming to our students, so welcoming to us, and this relationship that we've established is probably going to be forever. Mm-hmm. You know, it took a little while, but we're there. We have this relationship to where our students can go on the reservation and see how we teach.
Well, and tell me a bit more about that and what exactly it is that students learn when they go on the reservation. You mentioned right. the way in which things are taught, but there's also, like, I would imagine, a lot of cultural aspects.
Yeah, so reservation life is a lot. It's different, you know. I was born and raised on the reservation, on San Pascual Reservation, and we're still on our homelands. But when we come to universities and these kind of settings, it's a culture shock because this is not how our land used to look, right? We're finally coming out of the reservations. We're actually getting a lot of us getting educated, and we're seeing the world.
About that history, though, Our country's dark history of violence and erasure towards indigenous communities is not something that's always taught in depth in schools. Tell me about your own experience learning about that history.
Yeah. So, as I mentioned, I grew up on San Bosco Res, and we were brought up in the culture and traditions, and like singing our songs, praying to the Creator, Maha, and all what we believe in, and walking that road, that red road.
Well, let me ask you this: do you think college is too late to start learning about?
Yes.
This.
I 100% believe college is way too late to be learning about history. You should be learning that at a young age. And for example, I've had students in my classes that have actually asked me that exact question, like, how come we didn't learn this our freshman year?
Or elementary school.
About where we're at. And I was like, that's a good thing you pose. You know, this is something that we talk about all the time in our communities. That's why, like, my research specifically is schooling environments for indigenous youth, that we got to create our own schools. And through the perspective of how we learn and how we grow and how we learn from our elders, how we learn from our singers, our story keepers, all the people that have knowledge that pass on those things to the next generation. Those are the kind of schools that we're working on right now. And that's what my dissertation research is all on. It's creating a school for my reservation on Sam Squaw and modeling a reservation, Pechanga, who already has a tribal school that's been going on for many years, who's been very successful with incorporating their culture, their language, their songs, their traditions. Not only that, but they're also California State Standard. They have California State Standard, so it's incorporated into the actual curriculum. And that's what needs to be done across all of Turtle Island, because we all have our own stories, we all have our own history, and it's very important to tell this story, you know?
So then is that history then passed down through oral traditions?
Oral tradition. If you look at oral tradition, it's the highest form of teaching, because you're sitting there in one-on-one with elders through your whole life. You're not just sitting there through like a class or like a 12-year degree. These are lifelong lessons, you know, and you take that whole lifelong learning and you teach it to the next, and they take that and teach it to the next. So this knowledge is straight from the voice of our Creator, who told us who we were, who told us about our songs, who told us how to live, how to walk this earth, and to live in peace and in harmony amongst everything.
So, I mean, how can people tap into Kumeyaay knowledge and culture to help address current social issues in San Diego?
There are a lot of people that are out in the community that are actually at the forefront of a lot of these issues. We have different groups within the Kumeyaay Nation that are working directly with our university when it comes to even cultural repatriation. And then we have on campus, our Living Land Acknowledgement. There's three structures that are up right now. So if you go to those, you just use your QR code, and it'll tell you stories mm-hmm. of who we are. And it's going to be mixing up all along the way once we get more QR codes with different reservations.
Uh-huh.
So they'll be able to tell their story, so people will be able to tie into them.
Many campuses have incorporated those land acknowledgments as a way to honor indigenous communities. But some people have criticized certain land acknowledgments as performative. In your opinion, what makes a good land acknowledgement?
Yeah. I don't agree with the whole performative thing. Just because I was born and raised traditional, so when I come out here and do this from the reservation and like understanding who I am in this world as a Kumeyaay, I feel like it's a positive thing for anyone that is foreign to the Kumeyaay Nation. I think it's really something that anybody should do, is learning about the first people of any land, just so that there's no confusion, no disrespect, and that we're still here, we're alive and well, and everyone just has to put themselves in that situation of, if this happened to your people, what did you want a voice at the end of the day after 300 to 400 years of colonization?
That was SDSU Tribal Liaison Jacob Alvarado-Wypuck with KPBS's Jade Hindman. You can find the full conversation on KPBS Midday Edition, wherever you get your podcasts. The California Center for the Arts is a North County hub for culture, arts, and community. A foundation has managed it for 30 years, but North County reporter Tanya Thorne says a budget deficit for Escondido could mean a change.
The California Center for the Arts Foundation gets $600,000 a year from the city of Escondido to manage the Arts Center. But now, Escondido faces an $11 million budget gap, and it's put out a request for proposals to see if a new operator could, in the city's words, maximize community benefit and minimize financial subsidy requirements. A review found the center was running at a loss a few years ago. But Jesse Gonzalez, the community advancement manager with the center, says COVID had a lot to do with that.
If you can't bring people together for a substantial amount of time, it's harder to get into those communities or build bridges into those communities if that's just something that you hadn't been able to do.
The city will be taking proposals until January 15th. Then the city council will decide who will run the center. Tanya Thorne, KPBS News.
SeaWorld San Diego doubled as a giant classroom yesterday for STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. Reporter John Carroll says students spent the day learning and having some fun.
About 1,000 students from all over the county, some as far away as L.A., descended on SeaWorld Thursday for the park's second STEM day.
As you walk around SeaWorld, we have science surrounding you the entire visit.
That's Mike Dunn. He's run the Education and Conservation Department here for 35 years. He says nothing makes him happier than to spark an interest in STEM in students. For Jory Northup, an eighth grader at High Tech Middle Mesa, the day's activities fall right in line with her life plans.
And I want to be a zookeeper when I grow up, so definitely like life goals.
The park's next STEM day is planned for March of next year. John Carroll, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. This podcast is produced by Emmalyn Mohepi and edited by Brooke Ruth. We'd also like to thank KPBS reporter Katie Heisen for helping the podcast team this week. And as always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Andrew Bowen. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.